the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
In the news this month, we find that Pope Francis says the Big Bang created the universe, not God's magic wand. We find that Elon Musk is warning that we are summoning a demon with artificial intelligence. China has launched their robotic moon mission, and America's robotic space plane has just returned to Earth. We're going to find out how all these stories connect together as we talk with writer and artist Yuri Dabenko. He is the author of Homegrown Holography, Bushwhacked, Inside Stories of True Conspiracy, and Hoodwinked, Watching Movies with Eyes Wide Open. You can find his art and his work at yuridalbenko.com or at newimprovedart.com. He is also the host of many other websites such as Conspiracy Planet and Conspiracy Digest. And we will get to all of this, but right now I want to welcome Yuri to the Free Zone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Freeman.
Well, this is going to be an amazing show. I have been reading through your New Dawn magazine and looking over much of your work online. And, you know, one of the most amazing things about our current state on planet Earth is that the majority of the public has never heard the word transhumanism.
That's right.
I wanted to title this show H+, The Rapture of the Geeks, Transhumanism okay. Coming into our way. Now, I mean, we have been looking at transhumanism for a long time. I remember all the way back in the 70s as I was watching Battlestar Galactica, and they had telepresence robots that were housing the consciousness of a reptilian race, all run over by this reptilian overlord, and they were, of course, at war with humanity, trying to wipe humanity from the face of the cosmos. This was way back in the 70s, but the warnings of transhumanism go back even further. So why don't we start with the beginnings of transhumanism and understanding where this came from, how this term came to be used, and how it all relates back to social engineering.
Well, as I wrote in my article, I did a lot of research trying to figure this puppy out, as they say, because I wasn't familiar with the concept. I got a couple of books that initiated my research, and some of them were useful, and most of them were not that useful, so I had to come up with my own conclusions. But from what I understand, transhumanism was a term that was coined by the notorious Illuminati gopher Julian Huxley. And I'm going to quote from my article here because it's not available online yet. It was a special issue of New Dawn magazine out of Australia. And it's not online. It was a special issue. It's only for download. So it's a plug for New Dawn magazine. Great magazine. They publish a lot of my stuff, things that could not be read anywhere else. Anyway, I'll just read from the article because it's salient to the point, your question you're making. Transhumanism itself was coined by Aldous Huxley's brother, biologist Julian Huxley, in 1957, when he wrote, quote, "The human species can, if it wishes, transcend itself, not just sporadically, an individual here and there, an individual there in another way, but in entirety, it's humanity. We need a name for this new belief. Perhaps transhumanism will serve man remaining man, but transcending himself by realizing new possibilities of and for his human nature," end quote. So you notice here that Julian Huxley himself called it a belief, since he knew that, quote, immortality was the Illuminati goal in life. After all, and as you said earlier, this cult of transhumanism has been aptly named the Rapture of the Geeks, because it's been very popular with the Silicon Valley crowd, the entrepreneurs, and whoever's going to make money on the next big thing, as they say.
Well, scientism is basically saying that man creates God, and this opens up a
scientism
hole.
Scientism actually is, as far as I can tell, it's the perversion of science, and it turns science into a belief. So it's an ism, like communism, capitalism, socialism, welfareism, whatever. And it's an actual belief system. It's a theory that really hasn't been shown to be, there's no evidence to show that it's even halfway true. Just like evolution or creationism, these are false doctrines, false theories, whatever you want to call them, that we are indoctrinated with, or at least I have been, from childhood, through education, through books, through whatever means they have to indoctrinate us. Is that your understanding?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This has been something that's been laid out. I mean, Julian Huxley brought that up in 1957, and now we've been watching it as it unfolds before our eyes through Hollywood media and laying out all the groundwork. I mean, all the way back to Battlestar Galactica and even into the new Battlestar Galactica, and then that barrage of movies that has just hit us of all the transhumanist wildest dreams and nightmares.
Right. So let's define transhumanism, first of all. It's the belief that the humans are in a condition where they're frail, they're weak, that's ostensibly the philosophy or the psychology behind it, and that we need to enhance ourselves. If you don't have a smartphone chip embedded in your head, or your hand, or wherever it's going to go, by 2045 or whenever the drop-dead date is, then you'll be an inferior being. You'll be a human rather than a transhuman, which means that you've transcended your humanity. So, again, that brings up a lot of interesting questions. What does that mean to transcend humanity? You probably become a god, a virtual god, a pseudo-god, a false... What exactly do you become?
That is a good question. And it really speaks to the soul. It you know, this whole concept of, are we simply organic machines?
Exactly. I mean, I personally, and I find no evidence for that. And I think it's a debasement of our human existence, of our humanity. And I quite frankly find it very offensive.
Well, yeah, we should. To think that we are in need of this upgrade in order to be fully human. Now, a lot of them believe that this goes to our ancient past, has come forward. But yeah, to me, this is a degradation of the human spirit and the psyche, and in setting us up to be in a full control matrix.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my understanding of it, and it's something that is obviously very prevalent because I don't know where you are, but where I am and everywhere I go, people are what I call thumb fucking. They have their smartphone and they are in another dimension. They're not looking up. They're not looking to what's their environment around them. They're in a different dimension. They're in a different vibration, a different frequency. And it's not connected to the earth. It's not connected to themselves. It's a faux, a fake electronic virtual reality that has encompassed them and that they're involved in, and they can't see anything past that. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, we're definitely not connected humans anymore. You see people hanging out on the beach together with their screens in front of them. You see children at restaurants with their iPads watching movies. You know, we see this disconnect between humanity and humanity's bond. And honestly, I don't think we're at all ready for any form of immortality before we start to sort out our own psychological issues on this whole, right?
Exactly right. Yeah, because again, if you don't know yourself and you're in the cloud, or you're connected to the cloud and Facebook, and you're in this other dimension, this other full reality, It's two steps away from, you know, if you understand the concept of Maya, which is the illusion that this world is from a Buddhist point of view, then this is two steps removed from Maya. So it's still something that is, I think, inimical. It's the enemy of spiritual evolution and everything that humans are on Earth, that we as human wearing our human bodies, as the Wingmakers would say. are here on Earth to do.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Now, I had a friend in college who was very intelligent. He was into all of this way back in the day in the early 90s. And he began by taking different smart drugs, trying to make his dendrites bushier. And so, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it really begins here, where you start to think you can augment yourself with different chemicals and things of that nature, as opposed to the full-on, you know, bionic man. You start to augment different parts of your body utilizing the different chemicals that we're discovering. This is also part of the transhumanist agenda. Right?
Well, that was, yeah, I think that's the 90s version. If I remember correctly, there was a magazine called Mondo 2000 by a guy called Are You Serious? And that was a big promotion of smart drugs and longevity drugs and, you know, living as long as you can. But again, the point is that if you haven't lived, what's the point of living longer?
Yeah, exactly. And if we don't figure out life on planet Earth and the combination of humanity, we're not ready for this next big leap. But they say the singularity is near. Can we kind of define the singularity a little?
Well, according to Ray Kurzweil, who's now the director of engineering at Google, he was supposedly a child prodigy. He was invented this flatbed scanner. He was like a boy genius, a Jewish kid, and now he's an old guy. And supposedly, as I wrote in my article, he takes 150 pills a day to keep his... I'm not quite sure if he's a biochemist. I don't know if he's that, or he figured it out. But anyway, he's working under the misperception and misconception that he can be immortal. And again, you know, as the notorious Jim Morrison said, nobody here gets out alive. And that's the whole point of life. It's life and death is a cycle, and it's a normal, natural process. There's nothing that's unusual about it, but again, to want this, to desire this so-called immortality, I think gets back into the alien, mindset, or what is the programming that has been instilled in the humans that our gods are more or less immortal because they live longer than us, and we only got this lifespan and so on. And I think that's a genetic throwback. From that, what would you call it? Mind control or ideology?
Yeah, now that's something I was hoping we would save for the second hour, because definitely that starts to get really wild as we start to look into the ancient past of transhumanism and how we could actually. But so Ray Kurzweil, being Google's director of engineering, oh my God, that was a shock to me. I didn't know that. And Google's motto, of course, is "Don't be evil." But
right.
When we start to look at what Google is doing, such an innocuous name for something so seemingly nefarious, as we start to look at what Google's pulling together, we've got, you know, telepresence, weaponized robots, AI technologies. Well, let's get into some of what Google's got in store for us. So, first of all, they bought Boston Dynamics.
Right.
And this is DARPA's weaponized robot program.
So, one thing, let me interrupt you for a minute. One of the things I found out recently, the last couple of days, was that evidently Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, has published a book called When Google Met WikiLeaks, which describes his meeting with the Google CEO, Eric Schmidt. And when he was in London, or in England, rather, hiding out in his legal problems. And one of the things in the footnotes to this article, which was, I think, an excerpt from a chapter from the book, was that Google is actually funded, partially funded, by a grant from DARPA, it's the Pentagon's...
Advanced Research Projects.
Right, Advanced Research Project. So the Google boys, Sergey Brin, and were funded by partially funded by a grant from DARPA as well as from NASA, believe it or not.
Hmm.
So this is, you know, the whole how would you call it, connection. I mean, this becomes even more in your face that when you see this trend or this drive towards transhumanism and the goals of that, which is, you know, as far as I can see, what I wrote in my article was that the elimination of humanity altogether. Because in other words, the whole point of the what I can see the current day Illuminati gophers, which is the ruling class, the technocrats, the whoever is in charge of the system, so to speak. Their goal is to eliminate a large proportion of mankind or humanity or whatever you want to call it, because there's too many useless eaters. Or as one of my columnists, Al Martin, has a website called Al Martin Raw. He says that he calls them non-productive. They're unemployed. They can't get a job. They've been, you know, their job has been outsourced to Mumbai, you know, or Ireland or something, and therefore they're not productive, and they're either on the dole or they can't figure out what to do because they're not smart enough to go to the next step. And so this population of largely unemployed or unemployable people, I mean, there's only so many McDonald's you can fill with people like that, right?
Right. Well,
so what happens next?
Tell us.
Well, what happens next, you know, is the steady march, the steady drumbeat of, you know, we have too many people, the whole propaganda about overpopulation. And again, this I think, I know you said you want to talk about this in the second half, but this again stems, I think, from the fact that the Anunnaki or the extra Terrans, whatever you want to call them, that came here and created human bodies and humans to dig their gold, this has become superfluous. And it's, you know, humans have become, according to this philosophy or psychology, they've become redundant in a sense. And that's why the depopulation agenda has come to the forefront. Ever since the Club of Rome published their white paper, whatever they called it, back in the 70s.
Limits to growth.
Limits to growth, exactly.
Yeah, I had to read that in college.
Very good.
I was really put through the Club of Rome's programming system and interdisciplinary studies. Yeah. So.
Well, my story was that I went to college, and after a couple of years, and I learned how to party. I figured, okay, I think I learned how to party. I think I've had enough of this, and I left.
Right. Yeah, I understand. Why get into the hole? And get yourself in such deep debt when you're just a useless eater in the end anyway, right?
Well, yeah, but nobody tells you that. So you gotta kind of, hopefully you're smart enough to, you know, in your 20s to see that and to bail while the bailing is good, so to speak, right?
Yeah. I mean, as much as this double-edged sword is there, you really can get a college degree using Google.
Oh, is that right?
Well, you can learn almost anything you want to learn, you know. I'm not saying necessarily getting a degree, but you can absolutely do deep studies into topics that were completely impossible in the 90s. I mean, I think that our database of information that we now have on the web surpasses what we could get out of a university.
Absolutely. Well, that's the other point that I tried to make in the article, which is called, by the way, Transcendence, the Anti-Human Agenda of the Singularity Cult. Anyway, one of the things that I wrote about was the fact that the universities, that Google itself, from what I can tell, is basically stealing everything, images, words, books, videos through YouTube, and making a conglomeration of this knowledge or whatever you want to call it, history, you know, current history, contemporary culture, whatever you want to call it, and then monetizing it and making money on it through its so-called free services like Gmail and all these other things that they have that are the search. The search itself is the first primary scam, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, the question came up, you know, if we have Alta Vista, what do we need with Google?
Right. Yeah, read that. I don't know if you have the article there, but that's the whole, that was a good question. That
yeah.
Kevin Kelly from Wired Magazine asked him, what do we got Alta Vista, what do we need Google for? And Sergey Brin, I think it was, or Larry Page, the Google boys, said, well, we want to make an AI, an artificial intelligence. And again, you know, what's the agenda? Whose agenda is that? And where's this heading? Is the whole point of my article that I wrote.
Yeah, and again, that whole concept was brought up in a Battlestar Galactica spinoff called Caprica. And as this was a flashback to the creation of the telepresence robots to house their souls, and as they were trying to come together and create this artificial intelligence in Battlestar Galactica and Caprica, the daughter realizes that they don't have the soul of the person. So what she incorporated into the programming was all of their Google searches and their shopping habits and all of that. And that actually gave character to the AI, which was then able to actually accept the human soul into it. Of course, she wasn't too happy about this.
What's a telepresence robot? I'm not familiar with that term.
Ah, okay. A telepresence robot, there is one currently on the International Space Station, and he is known as Robonaut 2. Robonaut 2 has the capability of... Well, it has capabilities of mind transfer technologies, but on the level that we're at right now, because in order to push mind transfer technologies, a computer has to be as masterful as CERN's LHC grid, which is pushing exabytes of data. Okay, and if the listeners don't know, they say that the entire written world could fit into 5 exabytes. So everything that's ever been written on the planet can fit in 5 exabytes. But a computer that's capable of pushing exabytes of information is necessary for this type of mind transfer technologies. So the telepresence robot, and you can look Robonaut 2 up on Wikipedia, and it'll tell you it's a telepresence robot. So I'm not making this up just so people know.
No, of course, yeah.
And so what this is the ability to act as the robot. You know, at this point, you can have a helmet and be able to act as the robot and do performing maintenance around the International Space Station.
So how did this, it kind of reminds me of the Tom Cruise movie, what's it called, Oblivion.
Yeah.
But how did the question of the soul, of something that's extra dimensional or non-3D, you know, higher than 3D, 4D, how did that come up in the show? Because I wasn't familiar. I haven't seen that.
In Caprica.
You said they couldn't upload a soul. Yeah, they couldn't upload a soul. And obviously, you know, that's the next question. Is there a thing, I mean, I know it's a rumor. Is there something called a soul catcher chip that actually, and there's been a lot of, you know, scuttlebutt online about that, whether when Diana got waxed, did they take her soul? Was that the main... Or not the main, but one of the how would you call it? Like harvesting, soul harvesting. Like people when they're murdered, they harvest their organs. Well, then the question comes up: is there such a thing as a soul catcher chip
that actually
that
came
can
up
harvest
in,
the soul?
That came up in J.J. Abrams' Fringe. They had a thing called soul magnets. All along the way, they're promoting this out to us. And, of course, Fringe and much of J.J. Abrams' work, such as Alias, is all CIA-sponsored, without question.
Exactly.
Just as SG-1, Stargate, is sponsored by the Space Command and the United States Space Force, the CIA finally got involved with J.J. Abrams, bringing out Alias and Fringe and... many of their other projects of J.J. Abrams. So even to the point of I think that was his film Cabin in the Woods.
I haven't seen that.
A human sacrifice on a technological scale. That was something else.
Oh, geez. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's nasty. Yeah, no, and again, that's the whole thing is this programming, what I call Illuminati predictive programming, where you have a TV show or a movie, and it promotes a certain concept that the agency or the Illuminati gophers want to promote, and it goes out there, and then when the reality, when somebody looks at the reality or finds out about the reality, let's say, they think, well, gosh, I saw that was a movie, you know, and it can't be real because that was a movie. And so that's how they disguise reality, is by fictionalizing it ahead of time. And then you think when you see it, you go, oh, this is just a movie.
Yeah.
People dismiss it.
People always thought I watched The X-Files. And I'm like, no, I actually never did. I didn't. At the time, I never did. And they're like, well, that was on The X-Files, what you're talking about now. I'm like, well, it actually happened, you know?
Uh-huh. There you go. That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
So again, people got to understand, I hope they understand sooner or later that the so-called movies and TV shows and whatever is simply, quote, programming. I wrote in my book, Hoodwinked, I wrote about this other very interesting TV show that was produced by Jim Cameron called Dark Angel. And the same thing happened there, that you know, you predict this and this human-animal hybrids and so on. And I'm sure that all this has gone on, and it's a way of disguising it, that if you put it into the so-called entertainment. In other words, the joke in there was, why do they think they call it programming? TV program.
Wow, we just got because a really being... weird noise. Just came through the line.
Uh-oh.
But it's okay. We got most of what you said.
But it's okay. It's NSA. Do not be afraid.
Yeah.
It's just NSA.
No,
NSA all the way.
Yeah, right. I always leave messages for Echelon and for NSA because I'm, you know, since the days of Echelon, I've been talking to my own personal agent, I'm sure. And so I like to leave them messages. I like them to hear what I have to say. I want them to take this into their consciousness and think
good.
About what
they're
doing.
It's called education. Yeah, everybody's got to progress, I think. If you got a soul, you're going to move forward, I hope, and walk away from the nonsense that you've been involved in, or I've been involved, anybody's been involved in, right? You got to move on.
Absolutely. Recognize what's going on. Let's shift the program, because we can see where this is going. I mean, Stephen Hawking, when he started looking at this idea of transcendence through computer manipulation and realizing that this end game was the elimination of humanity, or at least the useless eaters, he certainly would have known that he himself would have been considered a useless eater.
Exactly. He's a crip. He's a cripple. He's in a wheelchair. He can't talk. He can't think. I don't even know if he's real. I mean, I just, that's how much I disbelieve the media, is I don't even know if there's an actual creature called Stephen Hawking, or he's just some kind of, I don't know, you know, what do you call it, crisis actor or something that's been promoted. I mean, I haven't read his books, but everything he says, I've heard, sounds totally illogical, totally banal, or banal, depending on your pronunciation. I can't take that seriously. The guy's in the wheelchair, and he's like supposed to be this brilliant guy. It's like all the icons. If you went to college, you knew that for instance, Freud is promoted as the father of psychology, and this. And you got to read the it's like, whoa, this is like bad bullshit. It's bad programming. Why would anybody believe this unless you were programmed to believe it? You know.
Absolutely.
And science, you know, the same thing. You have this fraudulent science, this what I call scientism, that these scientists become so arrogant that they think that they can solve all the problems in the world, and that's the components of the Google mythology, that we can solve. It's like I wrote in the article that I think one of the Google boys' girlfriend is starting a DNA, what would you call it? Not storage, but gathering system, where you can get your DNA taken, and then who knows what they do with it? They could be making armies of clones for all I know. I mean, I would not disbelieve that without any evidence, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. that is their end game, their goal. What a thing. You know, I look at Star Wars, Clone Wars, and I think about the concept of these clones and drones fighting one another and how useless that all that carnage would be. It's mind-numbing to think that people would, or machines, human machines along with robotic machines, fighting our wars as if there was some consequence, and there isn't.
Well, the thing is, too, that if you look at the wars currently where so-called humans are fighting other so-called humans or being forced to fight, that you see the same thing. People go into the armed forces in desperation, unless they're, you know, go to West Point and they're really programmed, or the Naval Academy and they're really programmed. But the whole idea of fighting for something, you know, being an Illuminati gopher as a soldier, not as a, you know, pseudo ruling class or managerial position, like Hillary and the Bushes, like the Clinton dynasty, the Bush dynasty, and so on. It's really kind of sad. It's very sad. I feel great sadness for humans and for everybody that's got to go through this nonsense, because it's, you know. But again, what's the point? Well, as far as I'm concerned, the point is evolution, spiritual evolution, not the bogus Darwinian bad bullshit story of evolution. And when people have to go through this, hopefully the circumstances of their life will enable them to think more clearly, or think differently at least, unless they descend into the depths of alcoholism or drug taking, where the only thing you can, the only respite you have is to go into another dimension, because it's so hard and cruel and nasty in this life, right?
Right. Well, that was also a part of the Caprico story in Battlestar Galactica, being that they created this virtual world where all the kids could go and anything went. Anything goes. You could kill someone, you could rape someone, and there was no consequences because it was a virtual reality and everybody was turning sinister. Even, you know, if they thought they were doing this off in their virtual reality, it obviously was carrying back over into the real world.
So that's got to have a parallel with gamers, right?
Oh, absolutely. And they just released a new game that outlined all of this. I posted it on my Facebook wall. I meant to have that open when we started this, but they just released a brand new game. It's actually called Clones and Drones. And let me look that up real quick. I've got it here in front of me. It's funny, the internet's never fast enough for us, is it? Plug me in. Let me get that jack in my brain so that I don't have to wait load times.
That's right.
So Gamma Sutra is... Democracy 3 is the name of the game, Clones and Drones. Uh-huh. And this is the latest release of Democracy 3. And in this, they have to deal with the idea that... the population of the Earth is predicted to hit 9 billion people by 2040, and technological threat is growing, and they need to hundreds of millions of people out of work, and the overuse of antibiotics may seem that we have widespread resistance to disease. So this is the game, right? And then within the game, you have to deal with... the new policies that are going on planet Earth, which is human cloning research grants, Drone Strike Act, Electric Cars Initiative, the Climate Change Adoption Fund, one-child policy, the Mars Program, antibiotics ban, the mandatory microchip implant, and it just goes on and on from here.
So that's definitely Illuminati predictive programming. This is what we're planning, and we got to tell you because that's what we got to do, and here you are. And if you didn't get the memo, then too bad, pal.
Well, you really got me thinking about reading all of the Google disclaimers before I click OK.
Absolutely.
You were talking about...
Well, listen, let's do a plug here. Let's do a plug. If you're on Gmail, get off. You know, do something else. If you're on Facebook, get off. If you're on Twitter, get off. Why support this? They steal everything. They steal your own words, your own images, your own thoughts, and conglomeratize them and try to monetize at the same time. Why would anybody in their right mind support something like that? It makes no sense. It's not inevitable. I think again, the last part of my Transcendence article, the Transcendence movie review with the Google and DARPA stuff. The punchline is: don't panic. It's just satanic. Because you have to laugh at it. There's no other choice. I mean, you have to laugh at it because they're laughable. It's all these characters are strutting around on the world stage. These Illuminati gophers, whether they're politicians or entertainers or rock stars or movie stars or whatever. But it's all a system that's inherently, how would you call it? Nasty. It's evil. I don't know if you want to get into this, but again, it's one of my conclusions in all my research that it's all based on pedophilia and blackmail. And that's how they keep everybody in line. Globally, country by country, corporation by corporation.
Setting up these corporate heads in some sort of pedophilic scan so that they have something over their head? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. They drift into it one way or another. The politicians, but I mean, the whole joke about politicians was that don't ever get caught with a dead girl or live boy in your room. But all these things, you know, they're all blackmailed. They're all... The senators, the justices of the Supreme Court, the federal justices—they're all, you know—they're all in line. They're all towing the line because, number one, they like that lifestyle, and because it appeals to their ego, I imagine, and their vanity. And again, you know, I haven't been tempted to praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, but you know, that's what happens. I mean, you have this overwhelming, overarching desire to be that, and you're going to eventually get it, but what's the price? It's like, you know, even Bob Dylan did an interview on 60 Minutes. It's available on YouTube. You can see it, where he actually admits to 60 Minutes that he made a deal with Satan, or Lucifer, or what do you call it? He called him the commander.
The commander. Upstairs, yeah.
The maps, whatever, yeah. So again, this whole idea of making a contract with Lucifer or with Satan or whatever you want to call it, Anu, Lord Anu, from the old Sumerian mythology hierarchy, is the same thing. That again, you know, you sign up and you get what you want, and whatever you want is not what you thought you wanted.
Yeah, there's no doubt that much of this came up through the Temple of Set, which is, Set is the Egyptian form of Satan. And when we start to look at the satanic chaplain, Michael Aquino, and his rise through psychotronics, bringing in mind control through technologies, and then bringing this, Michael Aquino was a high Satanist priest, and he decided that Satanism, the Church of Satan, was not satanic enough for him. So he spawned off and started his own Temple of Set, based on the Egyptian Satan, to bring in the Age of Set, and utilizing this concept of mind control through technologies.
That's right. And guess who his partner was in that famous article he wrote for the Army Journal?
I don't know.
Paul Vallely, ever heard that name? Valley, Paul Vallely. He's now, it has a place in supposedly in Montana, somewhere in northern Montana, and he's like an oath keeper and this whole conservative Christian thing, but he's evidently also, I mean, reportedly, allegedly, the commander of ISIS, or the American part of ISIS. He's still a spook, you know. Once you're a spook, I guess you can't really, it's like the mob, the mafia, you can't really resign or retire.
Right. And once you're in the Temple of Set, or running around.
He's running around as a so-called fundamentalist Christian pro-American patriot type. So, you know, they all got their roles. I mean, they're all, in a sense, I guess you could say that all these characters are crisis actors because they're not in Hollywood. They, you know, they haven't been raped since they were 2 years old or 3 years old. But it's a pretty rugged situation for these people. I mean,
it's rough. Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, we look right to our presidency. You'll see that Barack Obama's mom was somewhat of a porn star. You can see naked pictures of his mother, Susan Ann Dunham, online. You know, there's plenty of naked pictures of Barack Obama's mom. And then Michelle Obama's mom is practicing Santeria to the point that Obama was complaining, quit practicing that voodoo in the White House, right?
Well, she's killing chickens in the White House?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it was front page news.
That should not be a problem because the Jews do the ritual where they wave the chicken around their heads and then they kill it, and then the blood that falls on you it basically redeems you of all your evil doings during that year. So, you know, it's not Santeria. All this stuff is—it's all these religions are basically mind control. That's why I call it BS. You know, it's the belief system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I find this all a bunch of programming, and I see even if you have a kind belief system, it's still being used against you. We see how they start to foment wars between belief systems when the people in charge of these wars don't even apply themselves to the same belief systems.
Of course, exactly. No, that's the issue. And again, why would they apply themselves to it? Because it's programming for the masses, for the so-called unwashed.
Yes.
So anyway, that's the whole, not the whole agenda, but it's part of the agenda that you keep people stupid. And I mean, I don't know about you, but in recent days, recent weeks, recent months, I've seen the proliferation of so many fake stories online, on the internet, that so-called alternative media are promoting, that it's just mind-boggling. In other words, the Ebola. Let's talk about the Ebola scam for a minute.
All right.
I mean, what's your sense of the Ebola scam? I mean, to me, it's the same thing as the AIDS scam and the swine flu scam and the bird avian flu scam. This is another iteration of that. The whole thing of the Ebola. Then, in other words, what actually happened? How did Ebola come, you know, there was a U.S. biowarfare lab in West Africa, and somehow the Ebola virus traveled 3,000 miles. They're going to laugh. It's laughable. I mean, but you know, bad bullshit obviously is good enough to sell to people. And when you have mass media like the UK Daily Mail and New York Times, the Washington Post, everybody around the world promoting the same line because they're on the same, you know, they get the same memo, the same email every morning or whenever in the middle of the night. This is what we're promoting today. So when this Ebola thing hit, it reminds me of the AIDS scam, which was when they said that came from green monkeys in Africa, and I mean, it's just these stories are so ludicrous. If you have any kind of brains and you research this, you see that it's completely, their stories are implausible. But that's what I think, it's kind of like a bitch slap where they don't really care.
Right.
We're going to make up stuff, and you're going to believe it because you're an idiot, and you will believe it because we know you're an idiot. And for the most part, you know, who could argue with that? Most people are. They're not going to research it. They're too busy living their lives. They're going to work, taking care of their families, doing the normal human things that humans do, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And so they get away with it. I mean, but I've seen this acceleration of, you know, just crazy-ass stories in the last couple of months, just total, forget about the Sandy Hook nonsense, the Boston Massacre nonsense, you know, that this is being promoted through the media and through the so-called officials as some kind of a reality when it's all made up. It's like, when this first happened, I thought, this is bad Hollywood. This is like all the people that's where the crisis actors came in. They couldn't make it to L.A. They weren't mind controlled from and raped from age 3 and so on. And so they became crisis actors. They became, paid actors for whatever government psyop that was coming up. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's, you know, but again, it's got to be some serious bad karma to do that and you know, deliberately lie to the world about events and history and so on. But again, that's another whole issue, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Barack Obama went to Mexico when the avian flu, went down to Mexico and met with the curator of the museum in Mexico, shook his hand, and this man died, according to some reports, 48 hours later, according to other reports, a week later. But when the Obama crew returned back to America in their private jet, they were not tested. They were not checked to see if they had carried this flu in. No, everybody was just let right back in. And yet here this man died right after shaking Obama's hand.
Well, we don't know if he got CIA cancer either, do we?
No, no. You know, and of course they blamed it on the avian flu. And
yeah.
So you can just see it's a story. It's they're not worried. They're not worried one bit.
No, yeah. If you can control the mouthpieces of the WHO, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the United Nations, and whatever, what do you got to lose? I mean, they're going to be saying what the script you give them. And again, it's not that complicated, I don't think.
No, it's really not. People just eat it up. You know, it's on the news. It must be true. I had so many troubles when trying to tell people the realities of the situation, like talking about HAARP and everybody saying, you know, back in the 90s, and I was talking about HAARP to college students, and they were saying, oh, people just say whatever they want on the internet. So then it came up in the USA Today, big headline. Milosevic accuses U.S. of using HAARP technologies to cause earthquakes and floods in the Middle East. And there it was on the front page of the USA Today. And I pointed this out to the same people that told me, well, they can just say anything in the internet. And I was like, well, okay, here it is in your world. Here it is on your newspaper. And they said, oh, Milosevic's just saying that.
Well, or he's a conspiracy theorist. I mean, I don't know if I told you this, but again, I founded a website about, a long time ago, 14, 15 years ago, called Conspiracy Planet, which was a repository. Basically, what I wanted to do was I wanted to redeem the C word. And I don't mean cunt or coincidence. I mean conspiracy, because it's got a bad rap. And it's something that's, there's an actual criminal conspiracy. It's a beast that the feds can charge you with. And that's one of the taglines on Conspiracy Planet is, there's no theory in criminal conspiracy, because it's an actual legal term.
So Stephen Hawking lets us know that success in creating AI would be the biggest event in human history. But unfortunately, it might also be the last. Another opponent of the singularity cult is Bill Joy. He wrote for Wired magazine as well. He wrote an article, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, Our Most Powerful 21st Century Technologies, Robotics, Genetic Engineering, and Nanotech, are threatening to make humans an endangered species. But Joy quotes from Kurzweil's book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, where he finds himself most troubled by this passage, The New Luddite Challenge. And it's, quote, on the other hand, it is possible that human control over the machines may be retained. Right there. May. You know? All right. So, on the other hand, it may be possible for human control over the machines to be retained. In that case, the average man may have control over certain private machines of his own, such as personal computers or his car. But control over large systems and machines will be in the hands of a tiny elite, just as it is today, but with two differences. Due to improved techniques, the elite have greater control over the masses, and because human work will no longer be necessary, the masses will be superfluous, a useless burden on the system. Now remember, I'm quoting Kurzweil. If the elite is ruthless, they may simply decide to exterminate the mass of humanity. If they are humane, they may use propaganda or other psychological or biological techniques to reduce the birth rate until the mass of humanity becomes extinct, leaving the world to the elite. In the book, you don't discover until farther down the passage that this quote actually was written by Theodore Kaczynski, otherwise known as the Unabomber. Tell us, Yuri, why on earth is the Unabomber writing about mind control experimentation?
Well, that's a story, isn't it? I mean, from my understanding, from my reading of the different stories about the so-called Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski was a Harvard student, and he actually was participated in CIA mind control experiments while he was. People, I guess, back in the, whatever it was, the 70s or something, could volunteer. They'd get paid a stipend of, you know, $50 a day or whatever. And then the agency could do experiments on human subjects. So as far as I'm concerned, Ted Kaczynski, the whole fable, the whole Ted Kaczynski is a fake story like Sandy Hook, like the Boston Massacre bombing, Boston Marathon bombing, and a lot of other stories that we now know, if we do a little research, are completely false. So for him to quote Ted Kaczynski, I think I'm not quite sure what that means. Again, you know, Ted got an interesting perspective on it. What that means, I'm not quite sure. Was that his programming? Did he really believe that? I mean, that's all unknown. I would not wish to speculate on the whys and wherefores, if you get my drift.
Yes, but we can pretty much safely assume that the goal is the end of humanity.
Yeah, there's too many non-productive people, as Al Martin Raw would say, and there's too many useless eaters, as Dr. Henry the K would say. So, yeah, the Illuminati gophers got their marching orders, and they're flooding the airwaves and the media and the planet with all their nonsense. So, again, I guess the punchline is, don't panic, it's just satanic.
And we are going to take that to the next level in the next hour, as we look into the darker side of transhumanism, the demonic side, and even satanic connections. We'll understand more of the technologies that are being utilized against us, the formation of Skynet, and what we can look forward to in the very near future, unless we decide to change the direction we're heading. So realize that this is a plan that is overarching, and it is being engineered and propagandized straight into your head, and you really don't even see it coming because they make it look like fiction. But as writer and artist Yuri Dalbenko tells us, this is absolute reality, and it only gets stranger from here. So I hope you will stay tuned and join us in the second hour. Yuri Dalbenko, his website again is yuridalbenko.com. That is UriDalbenko.com. UriDalbenko.com. Or go to newimprovedart.com to have a look at your artwork, which is fantastic. I love sharing all your stuff, and I'm glad that you're out there, Yuri. I can't wait to get deeper into this story with you.
Thank you, Freeman.
And thank you all for tuning in to The Free Zone here on FreemanTV.com. We'll see you transcended to the other side. Thank you for tuning in.
talk about it.